Finally, could Kraft Cadbury be a reality?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Looks like there's a bright light at the end of this cheese chocolate tunnel. Today, the board of British candy maker Cadbury accepted an improved offer from American food giant Kraft. It's a deal valued at more than $19 billion. Let's check in with Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard. He's with us live from London. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So Cadbury had opposed this deal from the beginning. Why the change of heart right now?
Kraft made them an offer that they couldn't in the end refuse. The final bid values Cadbury at around $19.5 billion. That's a good $3 billion more than Kraft originally offered.
And what's the reaction to this news?
From investors, well, one big institutional shareholder in Cadbury said a little grudgingly this morning, we'll probably go along with this. We were hoping for more, but this looks like the best we're going to get. The union, however, representing most of the Cadbury workers, is still voicing its bitter opposition. Kraft is going to have to take on a lot of debt to do this deal, $11.5 billion, and the union fears there's going to have to be some savage cost-cutting and job losses at Cadbury as a result.
And how's it playing out more broadly in Britain, Stephen? I mean, what are people there saying?
Well, you know, Steve, the UK is one of the most open economies in the world. Foreign takeovers don't usually cause anything like the hostility here that they do in other countries. But this takeover is different. It's caused a lot of disquiet. It's a cultural thing. There's been a widespread feeling that a venerable British company with great social values and superior products is falling into the clutches of a giant soulless US corporation that makes processed cheese.
All right. Stephen Beard joining us from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
All right. Cadbury shares are up 3.5% right now, even though European shares are lower. London, Frankfurt, and Paris are off by more than 0.5%. Asian stocks closed mixed. Wall Street reopens today after a day off. Investors will have Citigroup earnings and home builders' confidence to chew on. Massachusetts voters today choose who will finish the term of the late Senator Ted Kennedy. The race is critical in terms of whether health care and financial regulations get passed. President Obama today is expected to announce more than $1.3 billion in education funds up for grabs for schools and nonprofits. Competing for dollars seems to be the new trend for educators, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Eighth grader Ashley Ramos is using a robot to finish an algebra problem.
It's not working right now, so we're having difficulties.
This robotics program is helping bring up test scores at Elliott Middle School in Southern California. And it's the kind of program that could benefit from the new federal grants the president's announcing today. Education expert Michael Kirst says schools will do everything they can to get this funding.
Because of the recession, people just feel they have to compete for any new money that's out there.
States are already competing in the administration's Race to the Top program. In fact, the deadline's today. That program has states battling against each other to show that they have the highest performing students and are the most committed to reform. Arun Ramanathan is the executive director of the policy group Education Trust West.
I think it's remarkable the types of changes that you've seen in a very short period of time.
States have passed laws that open the door for more charter schools and link student performance to teacher evaluations. The Obama administration says it hopes to keep up that reform with the latest funding. And at Elliott Middle School, the hope is it'll keep their robots running just a little bit longer. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, offering the ability to manage money, credit, and loans all in one place, LendingTree.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing, ConstantContact.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Delaware will soon begin allowing table games in its casinos. Same for Pennsylvania. Voters in Ohio recently approved gaming, and Massachusetts could be next. So how much gambling can the East Coast support? Joel Rose filed this report.
As soon as it opened in 2008, the Mount Airy Casino Resort in eastern Pennsylvania started luring gamblers away from Atlantic City.
Did you ever go to Atlantic City before they opened up here?
Yeah.
Do you go there now ever?
Yeah, not as much, though.
How come?
closer.
You know, when you lose in New Jersey, that long drive home, you have a lot of time to think about it.
But last year, the Mount Airy Casino was on the losing end. Revenue was down nearly 7% after another new casino opened up just 40 miles away in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania.
We had a lock on the Allentown-Bethlehem market. So when the Sands open, you're going to lose a great percentage of that market on convenience gaming.
George Toth is the CEO of Mount Airy Casino. He says gamblers around here have lots of options.
Well, you could get to approximately 22 casinos within a two and a half hour drive of Central Jersey. So this area and this region, we're pretty well getting to the point of saturation.
This is part of what I call a race to the bottom.
Earl Grinnells teaches economics at Baylor University. He says the race starts when one state tries to draw gamblers away from other states in order to attract more tax revenue.
They may succeed in that for a while, but almost inevitably the neighboring states set up their own casinos. The long-run equilibrium is that no state gets any other state's money, but all states end up with some of the social costs of gambling.
Those social costs include lost productivity and higher law enforcement costs. So far, the big loser appears to be New Jersey. Revenues at Atlantic City casinos were off by double digits last year, their biggest drop ever. And things may only get worse once Delaware and Pennsylvania start allowing table games. Here's Mount Airy Casino CEO George Toth.
In our market in North Jersey and New York, we can't fulfill the desire right now to play table games. So their trips are going to Atlantic City. Once we can fulfill that desire to play table games, they're coming to Mount Airy.
At least until somebody opens a casino that's even closer to home. In Philadelphia, I'm Joel Rose for Marketplace.
And finally, the city of Grand Forks, North Dakota sent out calendars, but it's missing January 31st. No correction was done because all the other months are right. The printer of the calendar says because it's January in North Dakota, well, one less cold day is nice. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.